Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Hey, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
10 years. That's how long our state rep has been in Austin. And what have we been given the past 10 years? Unaffordable housing, property tax hikes, the cost of living's going up, and our paychecks aren't quite cutting it. Our kids, they're getting gunned down in their cars. We put our faith in one person to represent us, to fix these issues, and yet more problems.
I'm Taylor Mondig. If you elect me as your state representative for House District 95, you won't find me flying off to D.C. You'll find me in Austin, fighting to decrease our taxes, to reduce the crime rates, to keep more of your hard-earned money in your own pockets and out of the hands of the government. We can make history here in 95. Your voice will be heard. We'll show up. I will do the work. I will represent. He's had 10 years. See what we can do together in 2. Vote for Taylor Mondick on November 8th. I'm Taylor Mondick, and I approve this message.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Friday night's edition of West Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another very interesting show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight we're talking about hot topics around Fort Worth. And we have our plate full. We will look at the public lynching of Bob Willoughby at the city council meeting that took place on October 18, 2022. We'll talk about Cam Neils leaving the city of Fort Worth as the director of the Office of Police Oversight Monitor. We'll also talk about David Cook, our city manager, getting a reprimand from the city council. There was an active shooter situation today at Poly High School. We're also going to talk about ballot harvesting allegations that are being made against Democratic candidate Deborah Peoples, who's running for Tarrant County Judge. Also, we know that the UNT Health and Science Center got a $7 million grant to do COVID vaccinations. However, we found out that they only did 23,265 vaccinations. And Pastor Keith Tatum says that's just not acceptable because they did not reach out to the Black community or Black pastors to get more vaccinations done. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Also, y'all, we're going to talk to, possibly if he calls in tonight, we don't have a confirmation yet, a father who says that his daughter is a Fort Worth firefighter, and she is being discriminated against, and he is fed up. So we're possibly going to hear from him tonight. But a disclaimer before we begin, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Let's Talk Fort Worth, the host, or any advertisers. With that said, Let's Talk Fort Worth. Well, listen, I see on the line tonight, Bob Willoughby is ready to talk, y'all, and we want to know more about what the heck happened on October 18th, 2022. If you are not familiar with the story, I suggest you go to the City of Fort Worth's website or their YouTube channel would probably be the easiest way to find it and look up the October 18, 2022's public comment meeting in which Bob Willoughby was the topic of conversation. So good evening, Bob Willoughby. How are you?
Hi. Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, very good, very good. Appreciate you having me on, Carrie. Yeah, it was an interesting night. I think it would be called I had my own show completely, it looked like. But, yeah, it was an interesting setup, and what's really more disturbing than anything, that this is the 12th largest city in the United States, and our local government acts in this kind of manner. It's really embarrassing, and there's no reason for them to act like this. But actually, they have abused their power and betrayed our trust since they got in office, and that. So, it's interesting how they set me up that night, pretty much, because they had. I've been down to. Also, let me know if I'm going on too long, Carrie. You know how I keep going, so just feel free to jump in and change or stop or whatever.
Let me set this up. I love to set this up, y'all. Okay, so first of all, Bob Willoughby is not an elected official, even though he's run for office many times. How many times have you run? About four? You've run?
Yeah, I ran four. This will be the fifth time.
Okay, so Bob has run for office four times, but he is, I repeat, not an elected official, and you're not a city employee. So
that's correct.
Yeah, he's not a city employee. He's not an elected official with the city of Fort Worth. So we saw what looked like 12 whole minutes that were dedicated to just you. Can you tell us about that?
Well, okay. It's kind of in two parts here. One is the because Gina Bibben being pro-mayor that night, there's been a long-going complaint about the Neighborhood Association and John T. White. And Gina Bibbins owns this Neighborhood Association here in John T. White, which you can see that by watching that's who was there that night and that's who was attacking for on and on and on. The funny thing is I've been yelling for 3 years they had secret elections and meetings and stuff, and they haven't said anything for 3 years. It's took them 3 years for one thing. Another thing is it would have been much easier this to have an open election, which I met with Mr. Cook about this issue too. And a lot of people don't know much about our neighborhood associations, but they're mostly owned by the city. A lot of your city councils own them, and there's a reason why. Like in John T. White, there's a lot of development to be done out here, and your neighborhood association is the first one is informed from the city and the developers. And their job is to share it with the neighbors. But this one does not do that. This one is owned by Gina Bibbins, a council member. It only shares what she wants to share, and whatever they want to put in, like townhomes or do something they don't want us, that they know we'll not agree with, they keep that quiet and we'll slide it through anyway in that manner. But anyway, it's a very crooked thing all the way down the line there. But for 3 years I've been yelling, and all I've asked for, even when I met Mr. Cook, I said, all I'm asking is just have an open election, okay? That's all. It'd been much easier to do that than come down there and slam me for 12 minutes.
But to be clear, you had a meeting with David Cook, our city manager, earlier this year about this John T. White Neighborhood Association. And how did that meeting go?
Well, he seemed very interested in that. But later on, as we learned, that Mr. Cook has got his eye on moving up somewhere else with the Basses, so really didn't care. But I had to go. I did the meeting to go through these steps, like I say always. No matter how you know it's going to come out, even if you know you don't think they're going to do what you know, you even know they're not going to do anything, sometimes you still need to go through the steps just to document your steps and put them on record and to build your case. And that's why I met with Mr. Cook and that. And he has not, since then, he has not returned a call. I've chased him around the buildings at the meetings. I've got him in the corner. He got his back to me. He won't turn around and speak. So he's ran off since then. I mean, when I met about this thing, I gave him the documents about the Neighborhood Association holding secretive meetings and banning people and this kind of stuff, and that's against the rules. And what we're asking is to have them removed from the city data bank. Our city data bank has churches, HOAs, and neighborhood associations on there. And a lot of these churches and HOAs and neighborhood associations are not really good organizations. We need a task force to go up and down our data bank and clean it up. And only organizations that should be allowed on there, there are only upstanding, legitimate organizations, not ones like the John T. White Neighborhood Association or the Calvary Baptist Church or the Brentwood Stair. I can't name that church either. These are owned by the city. They're not churches. They are owned.
Okay, be clear to define what you mean when you say owned by a city council member or owned by the city. What do you mean by that? It
means that they'll turn a blind eye to anything the council member does. You do not speak. That's why the Neighborhood Association banned me, because I spoke out against Gina Bibbins. So you're banned when you do that. You do not speak against our Neighborhood Association. You do not speak against the pastors will not do that either. I guess they get money or something, because I met with one, it was unbelievable. I've never been attacked by a pastor before in my life until then, and I said I just couldn't believe this when I walked out of there, that it was all one-sided, and I wished I would have took. I didn't think I needed a tape recorder for that meeting, but now I know any meeting now with anybody, I'm going to have my camera from now on. No more going anywhere without a camera. When you can't trust the pastors, I mean, really. But all this on our city data bank, and the Calvary Church should not be on our data bank. And all that needs to be cleaned up. Each organization on that data bank needs to be interviewed, looked at, and you know, we should put some kind of goals and guidelines or for what's on our city data bank, that they are legitimate organizations, that they're good, upstanding, you know. That's what should come out saying, you know.
Tell us who the four people were that spoke out against you and their title.
Well, I know three of them. The Neighborhood Association president would be, what's her name? I can't even think of Dee Dee Smith. And then we've got James Hook, which is the vice president, which also serves on a board for Gina Bibbins, which is also a realtor. So it all plays in hand there. And then you got the last one who calls himself the director, and some reason or another, his name, David. I can't think of his last name right now, but David Fulton, I think it is, yeah. I don't really think much about these people because they don't mean anything to me. They can jump down and yell they want. They don't mean anything. Mr. Cook does. He has the power to remove them off the city data bank, but he didn't do it, okay? But these people don't mean anything to me. They can come down there, and coming into our public comment meeting, and they do that, it really doesn't bother me. That's not a big thing there. That's what I call quarantine with the crooks anyway. So it don't bother me that much. But now if we were at a city council meeting, on one of our council meetings, we've got people tuning in because of zoning cases and that. Now that's where we're getting eyes watching that we can inform, you know. But anyway, But that's the whole thing is.
Well, let me ask you this, because I want to be clear, y'all, because this story is so fascinating on many levels. When did you sign up to speak for the public comment?
Thursday night on the agenda. And also, I'm going to make a comment about that, too, real quick. I do want to get credit. That agenda now is released on Thursday night because of me. I've been down there for years saying, because they used to release it on Friday night after everybody went home, and you couldn't ask the city anything about on the agenda until Monday. And your council meeting was on Tuesday. You know, it's planned like everything else in the city. And I've gone down there over and over, put it on the – it's documented. Finally, and I don't know why, but finally we got it moved to Thursday night. And I'm glad they did. Now, there must have been something for them, too, or they probably still wouldn't have done it, but I'm the one that yelled for that. I'm going to take credit for that. But anyway, Thursday night, I signed up about 7 o'clock, so when it comes out, okay? And they're supposed to go in order as they take them. And I know not all those people signed up between the time I did and then and no one else signed up afterwards, you know. We know that. And also Adrian can testify, too. So they intentionally moved. They've done this before. They put my name at the bottom at another meeting, too, just to make me wait 2 hours, just out of childish things, you know. So, but they've done that before. They just made me wait, you know, but I got to speak. This time they made me wait and then shut me down. So by putting me last, that way, and having Crane not there, and Jarrett not there, and Maddie.
And the mayor.
And who else?
Maddie, the mayor.
Yeah, Maddie,
and
Crane.
And the city secretary was not there.
But she's not one of the council members, so it won't have an effect. But these three here, which are three of my biggest fans, they really love me, and that they were not there. So it left Elizabeth to walk out right before I speak. And that way they didn't cut anybody off. Everybody got to speak but me. So they shut me down at the end on purpose. Just as a, you know, just trying to get at me or something. I don't know what, but it's very, very, in a way it should be very frightening that these people this stupid that are in charge of our government that act this way. I mean, we need some adults down there, and we need people that know how to. Because my only thing I've done to council is just expose what they've done wrong. And it'd be a lot easier for them to defend themselves, but they don't. They attack you instead of defending themselves because they can't defend themselves, I guess. But that's what they do. They attack you. Same thing as code compliance does. When their officers do something wrong, if you try to complain about that, they won't go after the officer. They'll come after you. And that. So it's the same way the city works. They'll attack you or that. But anyway, it's a pretty childish thing, but I'm not worried about them doing it again because they just can't do this over and over and get away with it.
Well, let's set this up. First of all, the first 12 minutes of public comment were, I think, the she said the director, the president, the vice president, and the secretary of the Judging White Neighborhood Association all talking about Bob Willoughby. So that means 3 minutes each times four people is a total of 12 minutes of public comments were spent talking about Bob Willoughby. And then other speakers were allowed to talk about whatever they wanted to talk about, and Bob Willoughby was lined up to be the last speaker. But just before the next to the last of the speakers, the man just before Bob left the podium, we saw noticeably that Elizabeth Beck, the councilwoman for District 9, left the podium. And so, Bob, after she left the podium, you said what?
Well, you know, she left right after that guy got through speaking, which if anybody's paying attention, go back and listen. You're listening to what he said, because this man's very good. He speaks right before me talking about David Cook. So he's very interesting to listen to, and what he's talking about what our city manager. So it's very interesting. But as soon as this is Beck's cue. As soon as he gets through speaking, she knows to get her stuff and leave because I'm coming up next. And you can hear Ron say, our final speaker, Bob Willoughby. And as I'm starting to come up to the deal, then you can hear Gina and what George pointed out, too. If you look at Gina sitting there as pro temp mayor, she never looks to the right, never once looks to the right, but she knows Beck is gone. So I don't know if she can see Beck going out the door in front way or what, but George pointed that out, that she never even looks to the right. But this is all pre-planned. We don't need any more to prove that it's pre-planned just by putting my name last and doing this. Beck did not excuse herself. She just got her paperwork and got up and walked out. And without any excuse or reasoning or why. So, and as she left, and then they called my name, then Gina was ready to say, well, I don't think we have a quorum. She has turned over to the secretary or our legal or to our attorney, whatever. An attorney speaks out that, yes, we only have five. It is not enough. It breaks the quorum. We have to discontinue the meeting. So the meeting is shut down by Beck Lee. I'm shut down and the meeting is shut down. But it doesn't hurt anybody else because I make sure everybody else gets through their speaking first. So it's directly at me intentionally, and it's easy to prove because even Adrian can prove that he didn't sign up before me, and there's a lot of people that didn't sign up before me, you know. So it's easily proved in that. But like I say, the worst thing is just it's childish, and it's hard to believe that this is happening and our local government can act this way instead of spending this time on working on the homeless, our crime. There's some real problems out there in the city that we need to address. Instead, they're playing games down there. Like, they're out of touch, you know. They're out of touch with people, and they don't care about people. They only care about themselves, most of them do. So, that's a problem.
Let me say this. Now, who was left on the dais was Carlos Flores, District 2, Alan Blaylock, District 4, Gina Bivens, District 5, and also Acting Mayor Pro Tem, Leonard Firestone, District 7, Chris Nettles, District 8, and Elizabeth Beck before she got up and walked out, leaving it to be a five-man member board
yeah.
there, which is making them lose quorum. So
yes.
I heard the city secretary act as though she couldn't count. Let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That was gruesome. I mean,
they're not
funny.
Good actors. They're not very good actors, I'll tell you. They're terrible actors.
That was priceless. So she's counting for y'all, like to make sure, okay, it ain't but five here, so therefore we have lost quorum. So what did you say at that point?
I said, Elizabeth, you saw her get up, and I just said, you know, you saw she got up and walked out on purpose here to cause this to happen, and this was crooked, you know, and that's basically that. And the rest of the time I was saying stuff, the mic went off, but I was saying stuff, you know, that it's wrong, that you're going to take me out of here, and I'm not leaving. I got 3 minutes coming. I got my 3 minutes coming. I'm not leaving. So, but anyway, you know, so I'm going to press, and that's why I just sent emails out to them. I just sent an email to the city council members, informing them that I should have 3 minutes, an extra 3 minutes they took away from me.
And a hefty check for the way they did you, but wait a minute. So when you said you were not leaving, they were going to have to take you out of here, who started moving toward the podium?
Well, from all angles, they started moving from the podium. That's probably stood right, left, and behind all angles they came in. I think I can feel them all around me. You know, I think it was like five of them.
It was those Flores Marshalls, y'all.
I'll tell you, the sensible way to really handle something like that. Now, me, they know me. And they know I'm not going to be violent. And they know, they were really nice. They were coming up, come on, Bob, come on. You know, they were really nice. They didn't want to pull me out of there, but they were all up there trying to coach me to go. But, you know, if the mayor says the meeting's over, it's shut down,
mm-hmm.
let the person stand there. Everybody start
okay.
just bowing out, going out. Once everybody started, well, and then you can walk up to them and say, well, what do you want to do? You want to stand here all night? Everybody's gone. You know, you'll leave. Why would you, you know, so I think that would be the way to handle this. Because she done said the meeting's over, you know. If the meeting was still going, then you had to move them. But if the meeting's over, it's dead, everything's shut down, well, then let them stand there. If you, you know, let them stand there and go ahead and go on out, exit, everybody start, you know, just spin on out like nothing's going on. That person won't, you know, they'll give up and go too because there won't be any, thing to it. But anyway, but nevertheless, I went ahead and went out, and they stayed with me so that they could protect the council members when they came out from me, you know. So, you know, I was giving them the earful as they came out, and I told Gina, you know, I said, I think you're evil, you know. You're about as evil as can be, you know.
Wow.
I think Satan washes her, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
I mean, she is bad. So,
this is what I had a problem with, though, Bob. You know, they wanted a big raise. We heard you, but we didn't think y'all deserved it, so we didn't give it to you. But that said, though, they're being paid to be up there, so this is not like they're volunteering. So Elizabeth Beck was on the clock, y'all. And so
yes.
rather than spend one more 3 minutes one, because he was the final speaker. Ron made that announcement. So he was the final speaker, and rather than Elizabeth Beck in 3 more minutes, she walked out. I think she needs to be docked for that whole day's pay. I mean, I really do, because if you could not finish out 1 more 3 minutes, they should dock the whole day. I mean, really.
Yeah.
You can't wait 3 more minutes when they know that they're breaking the quorum.
Yeah. There should be a penalty, actually. There should be some kind of – she's done called me a racist, and she won't apologize for that. She walked out on this. You know, she's got it in for – you know, we're fighting back and forth, and we're doing like kids on the playground. The only difference is they are elected officials. I'm not. I'm a citizen. I can act as goofy or as stupid as I want to be, but they had to maintain some kind of decorum or, you know, some kind of a character about themselves, or they're not qualified for that job, you know. We need people that can handle that job dealing with all types of people, you know. So, but that's the big difference. But, you know, I guess I'm kind of, you know, getting under their skin a little bit or somewhat, you know.
Do you think it was the video that you were about to play that set them off, or do you think it was something else?
I think it was a combination of things. And also, they didn't want to play the video either, because it has it does have Brandon Bennett ending, and I've got the full amount of Brandon Bennett. I'll release that one right away, too, and put that out before I have my meeting Sunday with Brandon Bennett. I got him. I caught him. These budget meetings were the ideal place to go to get stuff, better than city council. The budget meetings were the best for me. That's where I got to chase these people all around. At city council, they got too many doors they can run out and get away. But the budget meeting, they couldn't get away. That's where I cornered Mr. Cook in the corner, you know. And he turns his back, and he won't even turn around and talk to the mic. I said, you know, I had a meeting with you. You won't even respond. What was that about, you know? So, but same thing with, that's how I got Brandon. I got him on a good one. And then in the middle of Brandon's one, we got this guy from the parks something to do with city, which is on the video, which I'll put it out. He interrupts right in the middle trying to save Brandon. He comes in and sticks his head right in between us and the deal. This guy that works for the city in a suit and tie, acting like an idiot, comes in, and I'm telling him, please move. I'm right in the middle. You know, and he comes right in there, and he's trying to save Brandon because Brandon can't answer these questions. And they know that. They know that, you know, too much footage on him is not good, which is not good. I've got on Brandon Bennett. Those meetings are great, those budget meetings and things. And, a matter of fact, all the budget meetings I went to, they had small crowds at. Elizabeth's the only one that had no one. We had to shut it down right away. I was the only one there, and she wouldn't take a call from me for sure. And she shut it down. So we all showed up, about 15 people from the city out there. We're all me. Sits up, and she apologizes, and she's the only one that had no one show up at the meeting. So, I mean, so that shows you how strong she is in her neighborhood, you know.
That shows you she's not going to be reelected. But one thing I also noticed when I really listened, and I went back and I watched the video several times, this was not City Hall business. It really wasn't. It sounded like a very personal situation between you and your neighborhood association. And I don't think because the fact that you're not an elected official and the fact that you're not a city employee, that was the platform for them to come and vent. I really don't. I think it sounded very personal, and it just does not look – it did not seem appropriate for that to have happened and then you not be allowed to defend yourself. So it just seemed like way too much was going on. It seems like the council person maybe should have gone over to the neighborhood association meeting. You be allowed to go there and y'all all air that out. But I don't think a public lynching in front of a city council meeting was something that the city should have had to witness.
That's true. And you're right about another thing from 3 years ago. Someone from the city or the council meeting or the person that can handle this, community engagement, Michelle Goop, or at that time, Catherine Huckabee, which was Michelle Goop's assistant, which I did have a meeting lined up a few years back with her on this whole issue at at a place here on John T. Watt Road at a restaurant. And right before I got my meeting, it got canceled because the neighborhood association here knew the woman at the restaurant and started saying some bad things about me, and they canceled it. So, and I put it on next door that I had to call Catherine back and cancel our meeting. Now, what should have happened was Catherine Huckabee, with them making us cancel our meeting, that should have sent a flag up in her head to be more assistant to see what's going on here. Something's going on. Instead, she fades away, you know. She should have stepped up that point and say, well, that was not right to cancel that. There's something going on that's not right. But she didn't do that.
Well,
of course not. And same thing.
I thought the same thing should have happened, though, Tuesday night. I think somebody should have stood up, one of those council mm-hmm. members, and said, y'all, this is not the way this should be handled. We know, let mm-hmm. the man speak, or something. I just think, first of all, somebody should have called Elizabeth and said, hey, you're breaking quorum. Get back here. We got three more minutes. So it was like a whole lot that could have been said.
I think some of them might have been surprised, too.
I think
some might have been shocked at the moment there, and it all happened so quick it took them by surprise, I think. And this might have just been an inside thing. I could see it be just an inside thing with Maddie Crane, Jarrett, and Elizabeth. Those four would come after me no problem at all in something like this. Carlos and Gina, the older ones, probably wouldn't because they're older in this thing, okay? They wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So far, Chris wouldn't either. He's been on our side, so... So, and as far as Firestone, well, he probably wouldn't care about it. They probably wouldn't include him. I could see Crane, Maddie, and Jarrett, and Elizabeth. I can see those four real easily working together to pull this little scam, okay, on their own. I could see that real easily. But, you know, it could be wider spread. But I know those four were in cahoots on this, period. And I could see it happening because Maddie's like a child.
You believe Crane who? Crane, Maddie,
oh,
and who?
Oh, definitely. They had to be. Oh, yeah, Crane, I've really gotten in. That's what Adrian's telling me, too. He says, boy, you've really gotten under Crane, Hollywood Crane's. And first, chasing him around with the camera and showing him up on screen down there. I mean, even at city council, I played a video with him at the budget meeting where I asked him if he'd take a question. He said yes. And then we got to the questions. He wouldn't take the question. He stayed seated. I put the camera on him. I put it back up, you know, and Mr. Cook tries to answer. Renee tries to answer, and I tell Renee, well, you're not the elected official. You're not the one that voted this thing I'm asking. This is a question to the council member, and it's the premise of their job to answer. He doesn't get up out of his seat. He doesn't even stand up. The other ones at least get up. Firestone, one of them, he gets up, and he can't take because they defend him, and none of them can take the question at the budget meeting. None of them. Even Gina, she's on that film. I got her plain as day. Gina, you take a question. She says, yeah, I'll take a question. What's your question, Bob? And I said, well, I want to ask you during the meeting. Sure, you know. Well, we go into the meeting. She never takes the question. The only thing she does is she's never and says, well, I'm going to take Bob's question at the end and because it's not a budget question. And I'm going, that's not true, Gina. That's not true. So, you know, what a liar.
Adrian just sent me a text and said, tell him don't forget Gina. Because, Bob, you know, to be very honest with you, this whole back and forth with you and Gina is starting to feel uncomfortable for the rest of us that are watching it. I mean,
well,
I was talking to somebody today, and they said they felt like you and Gina need to either get a room or get a box. Or get a boxing match. And I can't tell at this point which is going to be the best. I mean, because it's starting to feel uncomfortable for the rest of us that are watching it. You ever seen people back and forth and you're just kind of watching it, but it feels very uncomfortable? That's the way it's starting to feel. It's starting to feel like this is going way too far in one direction or the other. And somebody is supposed to, like end it. But I think it leans more to the city because you are the private citizen and the city mm-hmm. is who we are paying to do their job. And so I think just what happened was just, I don't know, y'all, it was hard to listen to. It was hard to watch. And I just couldn't imagine, like, you know, where are we going with this? Because we know the Atatiana Jefferson trial is just around the corner. And so if they are that, you know, Let me rephrase that. With the Tatiana Jefferson trial just around the corner, we know that there will probably be people that are not going to be satisfied with the possible outcome. That said, if you don't want to hear from the public to the point that you will do things like a break a quorum to keep from hearing from them, what is that saying about the people that we've elected as our leaders? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's bad all the way. I mean, that's what I mean. When I got involved, I started to find out what a cesspool of corruption. So all you can do is just take a little piece and start trying to carve at it. And I do got to give a lot of credit. And that's another thing that's making counsel come after me, too, is because Chris broke the ice a little bit. He put a crack in the wall. It's been a wall for 10 years. He finally put a crack in the wall and stood right up and said, and I know they didn't want to hear this. I know they didn't want to hear this at all. And he said, Bob, you're right. It was horrible to take away your right to speak at counsel. And he said, I'm going to bite my tongue here. And he did, and he backtracked on what he did, and and he went on for about 3 minutes. And he also made some comments about our emblems staying the same, and what he meant by some of the stuff. Some people might not understand what he was talking about in some of the stuff, but I do. He was really responding to something that the city attorney said earlier that night. They're always looking at other cities, how they do things, and then apply it to mm-hmm. us. They don't ask us. They find which one they like. Austin, Houston, and San Antonio's doing this, so that's okay. We'll do that. It's not like, hey, this is what they're doing. What do you think about that is the way it should be to us, because we're the ones that pay the taxes here. We're the ones that live here. We're the ones that's supposed to be included, but we're not. So they use this as a way, and they're always using it all the time to try to make themselves look like they're doing right, but they're just picking out from the worst cities or what they want. And that's what he was talking about, the emblems and stuff. I think he was referring to that because that's what the lawyer just said earlier. Because what they'd done was they changed our public, our speaking again. When I signed up this Tuesday to speak now, I've got two items I signed up for, but I can only speak 3 minutes. So I got to put a minute and a half on each one. I don't have 3 minutes on each one like I did before. Now I've only got, and if I had three items, I'd only have a minute for each one, okay? So they cut us down some more.
Let me pause and run an ad on this, but I want to explain something. I think you're misquoting one part of that. But when we come back from this ad, I'm going to explain what I think the new difference is.
10 years. That's how long our state rep has been in Austin. And what have we been given the past 10 years? Unaffordable housing, property tax hikes, the cost of living's going up, and our paychecks aren't quite cutting it. Our kids, they're getting gunned down in their cars. We put our faith in one person to represent us to fix these issues, and yet more problems. I'm Taylor Mondick. If you elect me as your state representative for House District 95, you won't find me flying off to D.C. You'll find me in Austin fighting to decrease our taxes, to reduce the crime rates, to keep more of your hard-earned money in your own pockets and out of the hands of the government. We can make history here in 95. Your voice will be heard. We'll show up. I will do the work. I will represent. He's had 10 years. See what we can do together and two. Vote for Taylor Mondick on November 8th. I'm Taylor Mondick, and I approve this message.
Y'all, that's Taylor Mondick, and he approved that message. Listen, okay, Bob, back to what we're talking about with this new change at the city council. Okay. I think what they're saying, because I called the city secretary's office for clarity, because I was confused with reading it. And I spoke with Jeanette Goodall, that's your city secretary, y'all. And what she said was, on the voting night, we have consent agenda items, and then we have non-consent agenda items. So what they're saying is you can have 3 minutes total for consent agenda items and 3 minutes total for non-consent agenda items. So no matter how many items you have per category, you're only going to get 3 minutes. So if you're speaking in the non-consent agenda item category and the consent agenda item category, you'll have a total of 6 minutes. And they want that at the beginning of the session.
How do you determine the non-consent to the consent one? Which ones are which?
You know, if you pay attention at the very beginning of the session, they will say these are non-consent agenda items, and those will be the ones that David Cook calls off.
Yeah, like you're going to remember that and catch all that. You know, they should maybe, now they should release it in different colors or something. Or something should label the non-consent and the consent ones to make it easier, you know, for people to determine.
I hope I'm not quoting this wrong, but I think the non-consent agenda items are the ones that people are speaking on, and the consent agenda items are the ones that there are no speakers. I think that's where it is. But don't quote me on that, y'all. But I think it's something like that. I understand the speakers will be at the beginning of the session, though, and you have to say whatever you're going to say at the top of it, at the top, all of it. If you're talking about three different topics, you're going to still, which is still confusing. Instead of bringing you up in front of each item, they're not going to do that anymore. They want you to speak all of it at the very beginning, which is ridiculous.
And then you don't match up with the item. When it comes up, you're not in sync with it. You're not in sync with it, and it's just terrible. It really is terrible.
Nobody will understand what you're talking about because you're trying to jam maybe three items in 3 minutes.
Yeah. And Maddie sat up there and said, one of them is, that's not that big of a deal. Let's go ahead and pass this, you know. It's terrible.
Right. So that's what I took from that. But one more, you know, a couple more things on what I noticed. I noticed that nobody else that had pictures and images that night, none of theirs got played on the 18th. But it seemed like somebody was in total sync with everything and their presentations about you. You have 4 speakers who, a lot of them had pictures and images, and whoever was running the monitor knew exactly on cue when to play it. Did you catch that part?
Well, you know what? I don't pay. You know, I couldn't understand half of what they were saying, and a lot of it, it's ridiculous. Like, even though I did see the picture of Maddie Parker up there on the train with the corruption trail. Now, what has that got to do with the Neighborhood Association of me? I have a right to say whatever I want to outside there. You don't tell me how I live outside the Neighborhood Association, okay? And that. So, I mean, just it was just a lot of – I didn't pay much attention to it. It's so much baloney. I mean, I just it's just – so I didn't pay much attention. The only thing someone did tell me, oh, that's right, James said that he did see one of the pictures up there did have my FW District 5 in it. And the last time they attacked me down there, they were going, oh, that's right, it's because of my meeting. I had a meeting at the town hall at the community center when I had for the police oversight monitors and stuff to come in and that. I had that meeting. And all my signs had FW District 5 on it, and they led to my website. My website says I'm running for office. So that's what they were having a cow about, like it's something taboo to run for office, you know.
Well, can you explain, Bob, why they were saying the DD person said that she had always been president for some time, I guess the first president or whatever. And can you clarify when they say you were never president of the John T. White Neighborhood Association, and why you say just the opposite? You say you were president, and they're saying that you were never president.
Well, simply because, now, okay, I don't know if you want to call me president or not. I won't debate that, okay? But what I will tell you, the city, Aaron, with community engagement, I have the email asking me, do I want to give it to D.D. Smith?
Oh.
The only way she became the president of that neighborhood association was by me giving it to her, okay? That's how she got it. I gave it to her. I was looking, when I first revived it and started again, now, whether you want to call me president or not, tell you the truth, when I revived it, I had no idea what I was doing. I just was hoping that if I put some money into it, rented a school, got some people to come out, maybe someone would step up and want to be involved. And no one, they came out, but nobody wanted to be, you know, the president of it. And finally, Dee Dee said she would. She was before, and it faded away. And then she came back. And the reason why I think she took it, because Gina probably told her to take it. Because once she took it, then she cut me out. That was it. That was the end of me. But I gave it to her because I didn't know what I was doing. I told Dee Dee when I gave it to her, I said, look, I'll help you financially, mentally, and physically any way we can to make it go, okay? Mm-hmm. That's what mm-hmm. I wanted to do. I want to be a supporter of it. I don't mind putting signs up and promoting our meetings and that. But she wanted no part of that. Like mm-hmm. I say, they want to control it. They want to control this neighborhood, and Gina is going to control it because of the woods down here right by me that just got bulldozed down. That was really, I think it's really a scam, you know. They put it on paper to be one thing, and after the election they did something else. So either Gina didn't have the power to do what they presented, they misrepresented this area down here before the election, or if she did have the power, then why didn't she do it? Because she was giving it to us as, you know, we wanted to be A21. That's why she was presenting it on documents to us. Let's make this A21. And so, and if she had the power to make it A21, you shouldn't be representing something if you can't do it. It's like me saying, I'm going to give you the Golden Gate Bridge. I can't do that, and you know that. But if I put it on paper and said, you can have this, if you mow my lawn, I'll give you the Golden Gate Bridge. How good can I afford? Same thing here. Gina cannot deliver on the goods that she put on documents here. I have hanging on the wall right now on this property, 70 acres they bulldozed down. That property there, that was a scam, 100% scam. And either way, if she could have made it what she was offering, why didn't she do it? That was a big thing about the meeting. That was a good thing. Why didn't she do it? Okay? I don't think she could do it. I think she offered it, but she knew she couldn't do it. And after the election, and she knew she'd get away with that. So it was false representation of that land. And the detectives told me if I can prove it, how can I ever prove it? I can't get anything out of the city. You know that. So I can't prove it. But anyway, it's really, that's what this neighborhood stuff is about. It's crooked and developing out here right now. We've got a lot of land to develop, and that's why it's so important. They could not stand me being the president of the Neighborhood Association out here. Now I know what to do if I was to get elected, and I think I would take it back if we had an open election. But we did not have one in over 4 years. I can't even begin to run. I'm banned, and I don't know when they have elections. I'm not, you know, it's really, really crooked, and it's that way. But, one other thing I wanted to bring up real quick, too, off the subject here on something a little bit different. On Halloween night, I'll be going to court over the water fiasco thing where they did the driveways. So they've called me, and I go in for Halloween at 1 o'clock at the court to testify. Wow. These people are trying to keep their jobs, or not the small ones removed from it, but the other ones. So I just thought I'd bring it up just off the top of my head. I was just thinking about this.
Yeah,
so I'm anxious, so I'll have some information.
We definitely want more information on that on the next show.
I do too. I want to know who these people are, who's up higher, who's trying to hold off. So I'll get a lot of information, insight on this. So I'll be going to court on, and it's on Halloween. I asked the lawyer. I said, "Well, you want me to wear a costume? It's Halloween."
If y'all not familiar with that story, Bob Willoughby was going down in his neighborhood one day, and he saw the City of Fort Worth Water Department trucks out there, and they were paving somebody's driveway. And Bob went home and got his camera, came back and filmed them doing that. And so he turned that into the city, and some people got fired. So now, obviously, it's on his way to court. So we definitely want to hear more about that on the next show. And, Bob, we got to wrap this up, but I do want to mention three things before we get out of here on this part, y'all. First of all, FYI, city leaders, we don't ever want to see a public lynching in Fort Worth, especially in our city hall chamber. And so this was something that, you know, we got the Klan building downtown and everybody talking about how it's going to be revamped to something great. But we don't want to move the Klan lynching building to City Hall chambers. So FYI, that's just not cool. And second of all, y'all, I called the city secretary's office on Wednesday and Thursday about this. And I said, can somebody explain to me what a quorum is and what just happened in city council meeting on the 18th? And what I was told was Jeanette Goodall, Ron Gonzalez, and Michelle, the lady that runs the projector, were all in a convention, and they would not be back until Monday. So everybody else that was in the city secretary's office claimed that they were not at the city council meeting on the 18th, and they couldn't tell me anything. So I then went to the city attorney's office, left a message. Can somebody explain to me what happened on the 18th with the city council meeting and the quorum being broken and I never got a call back. So FYI. But Bob, thank you for stopping by tonight and telling us all about it, y'all. So we got all the juice.
Yeah. I appreciate you having me on, and I'm going to tune in on the computer, Carrie. I'll be off the phone, but I'm going to listen on the so I'll be a few seconds delay listening in, okay? Thanks
Wonderful.
For having me
Thank
on.
You, Bob. Yeah.
Right.
Y'all, listen, that's what happened. So now we know there, you know, nothing left to say except for what we just heard. So, yeah, that's what went down on the 18th at City Hall in the chambers for public comment night. So anybody asks you what happened, you just got the other side. Okay, y'all, today there was an active shooter situation at Polytechnic High School here on the east side. And I am still, like, left with a whole bunch of questions, y'all. What happened after Uvalde? You would think that we have situations like that under control or people with a heightened security. Like, what's really going on? So I still haven't got all the details, but someone sent footage. So I did see the police in a heavy police presence there today, and the video said active shooter situation. So I'm still not sure. I would think we have metal detectors in the school now. Maybe, maybe not. But I think, you know, if we don't, it should be something definitely we are investing in. And I also think that the parents have got to start spending more time at these schools to see what's going on with their children and with other people's children, because I think it's just going to be necessary moving forward. And I also understand this is the school in which the four young men that were killed in Morningside over on Jessamine Street about 2 weeks ago, that this is the school in which they attended. And I understand that their funerals have been taking place like the last couple of days. So I'm not sure if all of that is connected. But FYI, there was an active shooter situation, according to what I was told, today at Polytechnic High School. Y'all, listen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Tonight, we're talking about hot topics. And boy, do we have hot topics. Tonight, we're talking about the fact that David Cook recently got a reprimand for going to Aspen, Colorado with the Bassett on a private plane. So the city decided he needed a reprimand for that. We also want to talk about the rearrest of Manny Mata. Yeah, I want to talk about that. And I ain't got a lot of time to talk about it, y'all, so I'm going to hit and miss some of these topics, but we do want to hit on them. We also want to talk about a ballot harvesting situation that they are accusing Democratic candidate Deborah Peoples, who's running for Tarrant County judge. She's being accused of allegedly ballot harvesting. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. And the fact that Kim Neal, the director of the Office of Police Officer, I mean, sorry, she's with the Office of Police Oversight Monitor. She's the director over there. Allegedly, she is leaving next month and going to Virginia to start up a similar program. So we will see how that all turns out. But, you know, when you look at the situation with David Cook, interesting to me. I think David Cook, in my opinion, has been one of the people who has seemed to be untouchable in this city. And he's been here since around 2014. That said, all of a sudden, a behavior that he's known to be involved with, is all of a sudden a problem. David Cook recently took a private plane to Aspen, Colorado, for an Aspen Fest, some type of Aspen Jazz Fest with the Bassett. All of a sudden, that's a problem. Well, I've heard for the longest time that David Cook hangs out in downtown Sundance Square with the Bassett all the time. So if he's a drinking buddy with them on a regular basis, why would we assume this is the first time that he's taken a private plane with them? And if it isn't, why is it a problem now? Just FYI. So we understand that he's friends with them. So why would we assume that, again, he would never have taken a flight before now? It just seems odd. And so the city wrote a letter, and I'm going to pull it up in part. Very interesting letter. It basically says that recently city manager David Cook took a trip with personal friends who are also the owners of Sundance Square. The trip included a flight on their private plane to Aspen, Colorado, where they were attending an Aspen Jazz Festival. Sundance Square, while privately owned, has contractual ties to the city of Fort Worth and is part of the downtown public improvement district. To speak directly, taking this trip was questionable judgment, and when asked about the trip, City Manager Cook exercised poor communication to the public. As a public official, we all are and should be held to a higher standard, and it is imperative we demonstrate the highest level of ethics. Public trust is critical to us to serve effectively and impartially, and recent events have caused that trust to come into question. Public officials, including City Manager Cook, have personal relationships outside of work. But when those personal relationships also involve individuals that have official business with the city, heightened discretion must be exercised. Public perception matters, and we must go the extra mile to reassure residents and taxpayers, removing even the appearance of a gray area. We, as the City Council, have been thoughtful about this issue, gathering facts and consulting with the city attorney. While City Manager Cook did not allegedly violate the City of Fort Worth Code of Ethics, he has the responsibility to immediately work to rectify that erosion of trust. The city has reprimanded the city manager, clearly communicating our concerns and disappointment in his actions. At our direction, City Manager Cook will immediately recuse himself from all decisions regarding disputes around the Downtown Public Improvement District, any contracts or city partnership issues that involve Sundance Square. The city attorney, who reports directly to the City Council, will be responsible for any necessary mediation of final dispute resolutions related to the Downtown Public Improvement District. Okay, y'all, and it goes on a little bit further, basically says, as we move forward, the council has clearly communicated our expectations and the seriousness of this matter to City Manager Cook, and expects better judgment and communication to our residents and strict adherence to the highest level of ethics. All right, now I'm going to tell you what's strange about this. What's strange about this is, remember Chief Fitzgerald and the fact that he was fired, not for a fist fight, but for allegedly a verbal altercation with Manny Ramirez, who is over the Police Officers Association. That happened out of town. That said, just for a physical, a verbal altercation, allegedly, this man was fired because they said he used poor judgment and he was an embarrassment for doing this, and this. So it just seems very odd that this is heightened to this level. So it just makes one question, is there more going on here? And is David Cook on a short leash? And the question is, who did he tick off to be on this short leash? Because he, in my opinion, especially under the administration of Betsy Price, and appear to be untouchable, but all of a sudden he's being reprimanded. And then if you paid attention, like Bob said, the speaker that spoke just before Bob, someone I'd never seen come to council before, very intelligent, older white man, stood up and basically said how he felt that David Cook needed more than a slap on the wrist, and he felt that David Cook's salary should be reduced significantly due to the fact he wasn't going to be handling some of the responsibilities with downtown like he had been before this reprimand. Again, something that's never happened. But let me take that back. People have complained about David Cook before. But not like what we saw the other night. So it just makes one question. Is there more going on? And some other people have brought to my attention that Chief Noel Noakes took a private plane to Arkansas with the Bassett, They also said our former police chief, Joel Fitzgerald, had taken a flight somewhere with the Bassett. So it makes one wonder what's really going on, because someone said to me earlier, well, Carrie, it's because David Cook makes decisions for the city in terms of contracts and things like that with Sundance Square. I get that part, but he's been making decisions for the city concerning Sundance Square and the downtown area, but he's still been partying with the Basses every week downtown. So again, y'all, something else is going on. Not sure what the shakeup is all about, but keep your ears to the ground, because trust me, there will be more developing with this story. Also, y'all, we want to talk about the rearrest of Manuel Mata. Manuel Mata was rearrested recently for filming the police in his neighborhood, something he does on a regular basis because he's a YouTuber who films police. If you watch the video online, which I believe was the last video that he posted, literally he's talking back and forth with his officer. And the officer is basically telling Mata not to come near this area where they have someone pulled over. And so Mata kept saying, well, I was just going about my way. I don't have anything to do with this, blah, blah, blah. And the police does an imaginary line on the, you know, in front of Mata and says, if you cross this line, I'm going to arrest you. And then he proceeds to go back to where they have this person pulled over. And the next thing you know, he comes back and he tells Mata, you're under arrest. And then they charge him with all of these things. And he's been in jail for quite some time now. And my thing is, Mata is really going through some stuff. Mata lost Thomas Trolinkazi, which was a very close friend of his, somewhat a father figure. That was just the beginning of September. We're just, you know, toward the end of October. So this is all very new. The fact that they had really bonded and had a strong friendship, it just, you know, the timing on this is just suspect. We ask that you pray for Mata. You know, we all are praying for Mata that he does not come into any harm while in custody. We just know things can happen. And so we're just asking that you pray for Mata. Keep his family in your prayers, and hopefully this can all be worked out. But just FYI, Mr. Manuel Mata has been rearrested by the Fort Worth Police Department for doing what he does all the time, which is film the police, which is so weird. That's what he does. He films the police. But for some reason, they decided to rearrest him. And if everything on the video is what it appears to be, it just doesn't seem like the arrest was a fair one. And so hopefully those charges will be dropped soon and Manuel Mata will be able to get back to his family and get back to doing what he loves to do. Y'all, we're going to run this ad again by Taylor Mundick. Listen, if you don't know, Taylor Mundick is running for House District 95. And he's a young man with a whole lot of energy. I no longer look on just party lines. Believe it or not, Betsy Price and Glenn Whitley, Judge Glenn Whitley said that recently, that we should stop looking at party lines and start looking at individuals. And I've had an opportunity to talk to Taylor several times. Taylor has a lot of energy, and I believe he would do well if he was elected to that position. So we're going to run his ad again. That's Taylor Mundick running for House District 95.
10 years. That's how long our state rep has been in Austin. And what have we been given the past 10 years? Unaffordable housing, property tax hikes, the cost of living's going up, and our paychecks aren't quite cutting it. Our kids, they're getting gunned down in their cars. We put our faith in one person to represent us to fix these issues, and yet more problems. I'm Taylor Mondick. If you elect me as your state representative for House District 95, you won't find me flying off to D.C. You'll find me in Austin fighting to decrease our taxes, to reduce the crime rates, to keep more of your hard-earned money in your own pockets and out of the hands of the government.
we can make history here in 95. Your voice will be heard. We'll show up. I will do the work. I will represent. He's had 10 years. See what we can do together and do. Vote for Taylor Mondick on November 8th. I'm Taylor Mondick, and I approve this message.
Now we're going to go to the phone lines. By the way, if you have a question or a comment, the call-in number tonight is 515-605-9321. That's 515-605-9321. Then press 1 once connected. We're going to go to 314-677. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Forward.
Hello, Carrie. How are you doing?
Hi. How you doing, Bianchi? Long time no hear.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been eavesdropping on you every now and then. Just didn't want to let you know.
All right. Well, what y'all do?
Well, about 5'11 and 3/4". But the description that you gave of the police officer arresting someone who was filming them in public, that is really sad, and that officer needs to be reprimanded. And the citizen needs to file a lawsuit, not if directly on the department, but also on the officer himself. That's why come I have said many times that officers should be made, police should be made to carry their own liability. Because it would then be used, it would then be purposed just like it is with your car insurance. You had too many incidents, then they won't insure you no more. And the same thing should be looked at with these people in these positions. Because there's a lot of them, apparently, it's seen that they don't deserve to be there because they don't understand what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when they're doing it. They need to be gotten rid of. And that takes the people to do it, by the way.
I agree. Because you know what? The thing is, I mean, when you see this, and I'm going to send you the film after this, Bianchi, basically, he's nowhere near the scene. He's literally nowhere near the scene. And what this guy ropes off is just like a whole, like, big, big distance from where they had the person pulled over from. And so for them literally to basically disrupt this man's life and arrest him and give him all these charges, we don't want to live in a world, y'all, I mean, I don't, where – if the police are doing what they're supposed to be doing, you can't film them? I mean, that doesn't make sense. Someone who's operating in the capacity that they're supposed to be operating in don't have a problem with being filmed. It's just people who are some kind of way not doing what they're supposed to be doing have this big problem with being filmed. That's just my opinion.
Well, that's a good opinion. And it also has been a supported opinion by courts also. And the thing that can be added, that if a police officer turns off his body camera when they're interacting with the public, now you can turn it off when you go to the bathroom, quite natural. But when you're out interacting with the public, whether you're in your car in a pursuit or whether you're on your feet and presenting yourself, that camera should be running. And you should suffer very strict and harsh consequences if you do, because now you're trying to operate under the cover of suspicion. And people need to know why and what you're doing. And you know the funny thing about this is that it not only does it protect the citizen, but it also protects you too. So you shouldn't have any qualms against it.
I 100% agree, because I think, you know, it protects both sides in the fact that, you know, the person is standing there scared to death, you know, if you're an American especially, that you may lose your life. And if the officer is half as scared as they say they are a lot of times, you know, they are always in fear for their life, then the body cam is there to protect both sides, you know. So I just don't know how it can be a problem. I just don't get it. But if you are somebody who, I guess, is not doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, and that's the way you operate, then you probably are fearful that somebody's going to catch you doing something that could cause you to lose your job.
That's correct. So I'm going to let you continue on with your show. As usual, you bring it to the floor. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bianchi. Y'all, that was Bianchi out of the St. Louis area. longtime listener. Yo, listen, Kia O'Neill is leaving the Office of Police Oversight Monitor next month. I understand she's headed to Virginia to head up some committee y'all don't really know what she's doing, but she's heading into Virginia to do the same thing, basically head up a new department. So, in my opinion, when Kim Neal exits, that whole department needs to be exited, because that's a lot of high-paid people who don't do anything but read police reports. They have no subpoena power. They cannot make the police come and talk to them. They cannot investigate. They don't do any follow-up. They are highly, highly overpaid. They are supervised by the assistant city manager. So they're really not independent. The city or the people of the city has never really trusted the department. So what is their function? So I say, if y'all getting rid of Kim Neal, get rid of the whole department, because it basically is a sham. It does not provide a real function. I myself, and I can say this, or anybody says, how can you say that? I went to them myself this summer, and it was a total waste of time. I sat there and I wrote out these long, you know, basically statements about what had happened with the police officer and blah, blah, blah. And they took it all, and literally Catherine Huckabee, and I'm going to call her name and I'm going to tell you a story. Catherine Huckabee came in and basically told me, here's the number for the officer supervisor. I said, okay. It was on a green sticky, a lime green sticky. Because I had been running all day, I thought I will call them tomorrow, because I've been so busy that day. Well, that will turn out to be the best decision I have made in a long time. I took the sticky home, did not immediately call the supervisor that day. I called that number on that piece of paper that she had given me that day at that office. When I called that number, someone immediately texted me a message that I did not understand. I called back again. It was a 214 number, which seemed to me ironic that someone would be a supervisor in the Fort Worth Police Department with a 214 number. Okay, I moved forward. I called back again. The person told me they did not know what I was talking about and that they were not the supervisor for anybody in the Fort Worth Police Department, and, in fact, they were not connected to the Fort Worth Police Department at all. Okay. I then reach out to my city council person, Chris Nettles. I get his assistant, Sally. Sally then begins to allegedly try to figure out what all was going on. So she's talking to Catherine Huckabee. But you know what she did? She CC'd the officer that I complained on. So everything I had said, now the officer is aware of through Sally. When I bring this to Sally's attention, she says, oh, I'm so confused. I'm not used to this. This ain't normally my job title. Well, I didn't ask to talk to you in the first place. I asked to talk to the council person, which you never got through to, by the way, but I digress. But nobody could seem to tell me how I got the green sheet of paper. And so Sally commences to telling me that she talked to Catherine Huckabee, and they just couldn't tell who the heck gave me that green sheet of paper. So if you ask me about this Office of Police Oversight Monitor, I say don't waste your time. File a complaint with the IED, even though they ain't going to do nothing either. At least it goes on the officer's record. That's all I got to say about Kim Neal leaving the city of Fort Worth. Y'all heard it here first. Listen. I can't make this stuff up. That's how it happened. And to my surprise, when I looked at the email, I saw that she had CC'd the officer in which I was complaining about everything I had been saying backwards and forwards to Sally, the assistant for City Councilman Chris Nettles. That's right. You heard it here first. All right, Joe. I move on. So what we know from Pastor Kia Tatum, and I was hoping to hear from him tonight, he's very upset. He's very upset, y'all, with the UNT Health Science Center. And basically what we know is that they were granted or given a grant to do vaccinations to the beat of $7 million. However, they did not go anywhere near the million vaccines they had intended to administer. In fact, they only did 23,265 out of what they thought was going to be a million. Now, we know Fort Worth has about a million people by itself. So they were hoping in the entire Tarrant County to do about a million. So that's less than 10% of what they had envisioned. So Pastor Tatum feels that they didn't do enough to reach out to the African-American community, which makes up about 18%. I think they're saying about 11%, which seems to me high. I don't know. I just don't believe that many black people got vaccinated, but that's just my opinion. But they are saying about 11% of the black people in Tarrant County got vaccinated, even though we only have 18%. It just seems, I don't know, seems high. But Pastor Tatum said they didn't do enough to reach out to the poor community and the black community. So he has been speaking out about it. But because they did so few vaccinations, they have halted the program prematurely. It basically stopped 2 months prematurely from when they were supposed to stop it. My question is, what is going to happen to the rest of that money? Keep your eyes on the dollar, as I'm saying. That's a whole lot of money to turn back into the government. So I'm just wondering if Tarrant County is going to do some, move that money that was allocated for that over to something else. So just watch the dollar, y'all. I'm just saying, watch the dollars. It will be interesting to see if everything goes as it's supposed to go. Because sometimes, you know, when you get that kind of grant money, somebody just seems to always take their hands and put it in the cookie jar, and something goes terribly wrong. All right, y'all, this is the story I have been putting off talking about because people have mixed emotions about Democrat versus Republican. And I don't identify with parties anymore. I just don't see it like really something that I think is necessary anymore. I think both parties are failing the people. And so with that said, I haven't done this story, even though it's been in front of me for weeks, because I just felt like people were very sensitive about parties. But I'm going to talk about it tonight, and y'all get mad, just inbox me. Tell me what you think. But there have been multiple articles that have been talking about ballot harvesting and allegations that Democratic candidate for Tarrant County Judge Deborah Peoples has been accused of ballot harvesting. And when I first saw the first article, I really wasn't sure what to make of it. And I say that because the article included a video of a Fort Worth police officer that was sitting in his patrol car. He was allegedly talking to a black man who you really couldn't see because it was at night. And allegedly the conversation went something like the officer had met this same person on another occasion in which when the officer frisked the man, he found a lot of money, and the man was allegedly homeless. He asked the homeless man, "Where did you get all this money?" And the man began to tell him this story that he had gotten it from ballot harvesting for Deborah Peoples and someone named Stuart Clegg, who had worked for Deborah Peoples. So that said, the man was then asked, "Well, how did this go? How did y'all do this?" And so he began to elaborate on the fact that he was to get the signatures of elderly voters, and then he would make the choice for who they were voting for without their knowledge. So literally he was getting their signature and the voter information, but then he was literally making the vote for them. And so the officer is going back and forth with this person, but it was suspect to a lot of people, like, how did the conversation take place? You know, how is it that this officer happened upon this man twice? You know, it was dark, you know, just a whole bunch of things. Why was the officer's body cam running? It was just a bunch of things. So then other articles would follow in other publications that began to answer all of those other questions about the fact that the man's name was Charles Nathan Jackson and that it was in 2016 that he was arrested and that he allegedly was getting $200 for every ballot that he got done, that he was given a moped, you know, that he had enough money to, you know, stay in an extended hotel. You know, so each article began to get more and more detailed. And then it also listed four Hispanic women who had also alleged to have been involved in ballot harvesting. And they, too, say that Deborah Peoples and Stuart Clegg had paid them as well. So, y'all, this, let me just be clear. I do a talk show. So it's never anything personal when I talk about subjects. That's why I put this one off so long, because I was like, you know, people feel like, okay, well, she's black and you're black, so you shouldn't report on that. But that makes no sense. Our Telegram talks about white people all the time. So because I have a black, I'm a black person, I have a, and I'm a, and I have a talk show, that I'm never supposed to tell a story that's related to a black person, even though it's in the news on other outlets. Even the Star Telegram covered this story. So that's it. This man, they gave all of his information, y'all. And then they said in 2018 that Mr. Jackson was indicted for falsifying a signature on an early voting ballot. But even due to his record, they gave him 10 days and considered it time served. And his bond at one point was even posted by Stuart Clegg. I think I'm pronouncing his name right. It's spelled C, I think L-E-G-G, Clegg. But anyway, that person, again, works for Deborah Peoples. So, and I'm pausing, y'all, because I'm really trying to choose my words very carefully here. I don't know what the answer is to this. I know Charles Nathan Jackson is a black man who is allegedly homeless, who has allegedly twice come upon the same police officer and told his story. Now, I will tell y'all that I do have some discrepancies that I caught from the first story to the other story. But I'm not sure if it was an error on the police of the publication, on the part of the publication, or if somebody just added to the story. And the first thing is, who are the police officers? If somebody's body cam footage produced all of this information, why didn't the articles ever say who the police officers were? Why doesn't Fort Worth Police Department have a problem with the fact that this information was put out there like that? That's my question. That's just two of my questions. Another question is, when all of this is transpiring and they're talking to him, I understood the first article when they asked him, how did he do it? I want to say I verbally heard him say, or how did he do it? He said a paper ballot, which sounds logical. But I want to say in one of the written articles, it says a paper ballot and he did it on the computer. So my theory would be this. Someone would be pretty stupid to give somebody a computer that could have been confiscated when they're doing something that's illegal, if it happened. So I just had a problem with the first time I didn't hear him say anything other than a paper ballot. But in the written publication, I did see where it said paper ballot and by machine. So that would mean they would have had to give him this machine, and he allegedly was taking this on different locations. And that just seems to me very, very sketchy that somebody would trust that an electronic device could not be intercepted by someone and this whole thing just blow up. So that one made me wonder if that part was true. But I do question, too, did the officer really happen upon him twice? Or did the first situation happen, the officer went back and talked to some other people about it, and they said, go back and find that guy and get it on tape? That seems more possible if it happened. And again, y'all, I ain't, you know, Nancy Drew, or I'm not. So I don't know if this happened like they're saying it happened, but those are some questions that stick out in the back of my mind. Like, this man is homeless. How did you happen upon him twice? The second time, allegedly, you happened upon him, you were just telling him to get out of the street because he was going to get hit, or he was riding his bike or something on the wrong side of the street when you should be riding, I think, with traffic and not the opposite way of traffic or something like that. So it's just very ironic that he would pull him over at night, remember him, and the whole story, bring it up again, but had his body camera running, because the truth be told, they rarely turn the body camera on when they're in a shootout. So why was the body camera running just because you're telling a man to take his bike and ride it on the right side of the street? So are there some things that make me say, yeah. But I also have a problem on the flip side. I have a problem that Deborah Peoples has not spoken out for herself. I know me. Listen, accuse me of something that I didn't do, and I don't need anybody to speak up for me because I do it pretty well for myself. So I've seen the Democratic Party speak up for Deborah Peoples on her behalf of what happened. I've seen some articles to talk about it, but I haven't seen there were people personally speak up for herself. So is there a lot going on with this story? Absolutely. Do I know what the answers are? Nope. But yeah. And you know what? And I think time is going to tell. I think there is a huge story, which I know a lot about, but I can't speak on right now, that is brewing concerning this election, concerning ballot harvesting, concerning a whole bunch of things that may be getting ready to go down, y'all, even before this election or right after it. So I would definitely say this story is to be continued. We understand that Sheriff Wavern has refused to investigate this due to the fact that he has a personal relationship or friendship with Deborah Peoples' opponent. He is a friend of Tim O'Hare, who is the Republican candidate for Tarrant County Judge. So Sheriff Wayland has said that he will not be investigating this, and he has referred it over to the Attorney General's office. We know that Greg Abbott, our governor, has spoken on the fact that there is a big story brewing with election fraud in Tarrant County. So, again, big story brewing, y'all, is to be continued without a doubt. Don't know what else to say about it. We know that the Texas legislature passed an Election Integrity Protection Act in 2021 with the intent to prevent fraud, prohibit unsolicited mail-in ballot applications, and set additional ground rules for early voting and voter registration. Y'all, that was just last year. And I'm hearing all kinds of stories about signatures where, I don't know if everyone's familiar with it, but some people can get on the ballot by having 250 people in their district or their precinct to sign and say that they want to see them on the ballot. I have seen one particular candidate I won't even mention their name tonight because so much is going on with that situation. But of the 50 pages that that candidate turned in, I personally saw these myself. Someone wanted me to see them and make certain that I saw what I was about to report on. But 47 of the 50 pages were bad. And when I say bad, I mean bad. They were lacking all types of information, as though almost like a kindergartner wrote or filled out the form. So there's a lot brewing in the area of election fraud, ballot harvesting. Where it's all going to end, I don't know. But there are concerns that everything ain't right with these last elections. And we shall just see. I've asked Javier Garcia, who's over our election commission here in Tarrant County, to come on the show sometime real soon and sit down and tell us more about what we're missing. And he has promised that he will do that. He has not given a date yet, but he has promised to do it. So we look forward to that happening. Also, y'all, last but not least, we want to talk about the CCPD funding. I suggest if you have an idea to bridge the gap between law enforcement and the community, you at least give it a shot. If you have a nonprofit or if you can go under somebody else's nonprofit, there is grant money available in the form of $30,000, $50,000, even $300,000 over a three-year period that could be given to your nonprofit to strengthen the bond between law enforcement and the community. I suggest, again, you give it a try. The deciding members who determine whether or not your grant is approved is the city council. So that's District 2 through District 9 and your mayor are the people who would determine whether or not it happened. And there's a lot of discrepancy as to, I shouldn't say discrepancy, there's a lot of concern, we'll say it like that, over some of the programs to get the money, that their programs are ineffective, that they're not really doing anything to better the relationship between the police and the community. But these people get the funding anyway. A lot of people consider this money, the city's giving it as hush money or to control people so that they can control the people in the event that something happens. I said it. And I pray I don't get in trouble for it. But that's what the word on the street says, y'all. I'm just repeating what I'm hearing. And so CCPD funding, I suggest you go to the Fort Worth Police Department's website. And under their one of their categories is CCPD. I suggest you open it up and read it and see if what you're doing in your nonprofit or an idea you have for a program would fit into one of those categories and see if you can get some CCPD funding because it is available and they are giving it out. So FYI. Y'all, so listen. Again, pray for Manuel Mata. The brother is going through it. You know, Thomas's death was a shock to all of us. If you all don't know who I'm talking about Thomas Trollenkazi. His death is still new to a lot of us, and we're dealing with it the best way we can, but we know that Manuel Mata took it the hardest. And because he was really very, very close to Thomas Trollenkazi, and yeah, we're just not sure what happened. We're just not, it's like an open wound. It's still open. It's not closed. And I think the rearrest of Manuel Mata was probably the worst timing that it could have happened because he just gotten out of jail and Thomas had posted $2,000 of the bail money to get him out just before Thomas's death. And so for him to be rearrested over the same stuff And it just doesn't seem fair. It just seems like an abuse of power to some degree. And Manuel Mata, in this particular instance, when that officer came to arrest him, he really was wrong. I mean, if you go and look at the video, and it's on YouTube, if you go to Manuel Mata, M-A-T-A, and look at his last video that he posted, it just doesn't look like a clean arrest. And why is Manuel Mata still in the Tarrant County Jail? I don't know. But we do pray for his safety and, you know, that God some kind of way deals with the conscience of the people that are, you know, over the decision-making of this particular situation, and that they decide that that arrest was just not a fair one. And that's all we can do. And we hope that Chief Noakes looks at it, does the right thing. We hope that the city leadership looks at it. Several of us have sent it to our city council people, hoping that they will intervene and do something about it. So we shall see. So y'all listen, I'm not going to do the whole 2 hours tonight. It's just been a long day, y'all. A lot has gone on. Y'all would not know the day that I had. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. Just the back and forth and on so many things. But and tonight I did it almost solo because typically y'all know I love a panel. I love to move the conversation, narrate it around. But today, the day just got away from me and I was not able to reach out to some people that I was hoping to reach out to today. And so that left me pretty much solo tonight. And that's not a bad thing. Sometimes we need to switch it up. But it was an absolutely terrible day. I mean, just like, I think from the time I saw daylight until, like, I started this show, it has just been one of those days. But y'all listen, the election is next month, November 8th. Don't forget to vote, y'all. There's a lot riding on this election. I suggest you look into the candidates, decide, not based on party, not based on race, but based on action and the platform of the candidate. I think too often we've been giving our votes away. We've just absolutely been voting based on tradition more so than anything. And I think tradition is something we need to do away with. And we really need to start being respected for our vote. And we need to have promises from these people. When we're putting them in office, what are they going to do when they get there? We just don't need you there just because, you know, you look like us or we're the same party or the same, you know, church or, you know, no, those days are over. And so early voting, I believe, starts October 24, which is just a couple days away. Too late to register to vote if you haven't already done it, but you do still have time to get to the polls and let your voice be heard. We pray for a fair election this time. We pray that no voter fraud will take place in this election. Not accusing anybody. I was just reporting on the story, but I'm not accusing anybody of doing any wrongdoing because I'm not in that capacity. But I'm just reporting. We're praying for a fair election. We're praying that the winner is the winner, that whoever they declare the winner this November 8th will be the person who actually wins. So I think that's not too much to ask. I think that's what we all go to the polls hoping for. And so I think that's what we should pray for this time. Y'all, we're going to pray. We're going to play Taylor Mondick, House District 95, at one more time, and then we're going to get out of here.
10 years. That's how long our state rep has been in Austin. And what have we been given the past 10 years? Unaffordable housing, property tax hikes, the cost of living's going up, and our paychecks aren't quite cutting it. Our kids, they're getting gunned down in their cars. We put our faith in one person to represent us, to fix these issues, and yet more problems. I'm Taylor Mondig. If you elect me as your state representative for House District 95, you won't find me flying off to D.C. You'll find me in Austin, fighting
decrease our taxes, to reduce the crime rates, to keep more of your hard-earned money in your own pockets and out of the hands of the government. We can make history here in 95. Your voice will be heard. We'll show up. I will do the work. I will represent. He's had 10 years. See what we can do together in two. Vote for Taylor Mondick on November 8th. I'm Taylor Mondick, and I approve this message.
All right, y'all. We want to say thank you to Bob Willoughby for stopping by tonight. Listen, he told us all about that public lynching and went down on October 18th. Whew. Y'all, that was something to see. If you have not checked it out, go to the YouTube channel of the City of Fort Worth and look up the public comment meeting from October 18th, and you'll see it for yourself. Thank you, the audience, for listening. Listen, y'all, I don't want y'all to ever think that I don't appreciate you. I appreciate you listening, and I ask that you tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a coworker to check out the show. We try each week to bring you a content, basically, that's fresh, off the press, researched, timely, and informative. We really do. We try hard to make the show not just entertaining, but also informative. Listen, if you have a product, a service, a campaign, a nonprofit, a business that you want to get the word out about, consider advertising with us. We would love to have you. We will work with your advertising budget, whether it's small or large. Also, consider being a donor. We would love to have you. Your dollars, again, large or small, help us to do what we do each and every week. I love this show. I absolutely love doing this every single week. I've done it since 2010. And I do it because it is something about being able to present a story in your own way to people. And so that's what this platform, it affords me that opportunity every single week to tell you all of these stories about things that I've learned, things that I think you would be interested in, things that I think will help us as a community. So it's what I absolutely love to do. Also, y'all, I'm asking you again, vote November 8th. Vote your conscience, not your Democratic Party, not your race, but vote your conscience. Listen, until next week, y'all, good night.